This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Kicking off our final hour, Sports Sunday on this Easter Sunday. My name is Brad Porter, broadcasting live from the Rally House Studios. Jed Marshall is our producer. Cody Tapp's going to join us in a little bit, talking some Royals baseball. If you did not hear, the Royals game today against the White Sox is postponed. That is not an April Fool's Day joke. It didn't occur to me earlier when I was reading that somebody might think that. That is not a joke. The game today, the Royals game today, is postponed until April 28th. If you don't believe me, go to the team's website. And I didn't even remember that it was April Fool's Day today until I got gotten. The Omaha Storm Chasers, the Royals AAA affiliate. I follow them on Twitter because generally what happens, and this is a little hot tip for you, when the Royals make a roster move, sometimes the Omaha Storm Chasers break it because they'll tweet out something like, Joe Cazanu just got called up, going to the big leagues, and then you'll call the Royals and they'll say, hey, is this Joe guy coming up? Well, nothing's official yet. But sometimes Omaha will jump the gun and make the announcement first, which is great for me. But on their Twitter account, they've got a screen cap, and it looks like a video. And it says, hey guys, we got an announcement to make. Check out the video below for all the details. And you click on the video, and nothing happens. And then you tap it two or three more times, and then nothing happens. And then you get out and go back into it again because maybe it's your phone. Maybe your Wi-Fi is down. Maybe your cell service is not in a good area. And you keep trying to tap to start the video, and it doesn't start. And I got frustrated with it. I said, all right, I give up on this. And then I look through their at replies, and it's nice April Fool's Day joke, guys. So Omaha Storm Chasers, I know our signal gets up there. Please don't do that again. That was very frustrating. I was not amused.
The only good April Fool's joke that I've ever seen was on the Simpsons episode where Bart shakes up the can of beer. He finds that Homer's one weakness is beer. Homer goes to the hospital. It's pretty funny. A little dark.
The April Fool's Day jokes are 99.9% not funny.
Agreed. Wholeheartedly.
They're not funny. You get the occasional friend, you know, they put up like a pink and a blue thing, like, guess what? We've got an announcement to make. And you think they're having a baby. And they're just like, no, we're getting a new windsock for the front of the house or set of chimes for the back porch or something. And that's the color they've chosen.
A fun one, when I was in college, text messages were just kind of a thing. My dad would be very appreciative that I'll tell a story where I didn't have unlimited text, so I spent like $500 worth of text messages when I started dating this girl. But I digress. The April Fool's joke that was real funny to go around was, hey, I just found out that someone you slept with has, you know, like a sexually transmitted disease.
Ooh.
But the good news is I just saved a bunch of money on my insurance by switching to Geico. Which, I don't know. It's pretty funny. It's, again, you got to be...
Yeah.
You're college age.
Yeah,
I apologize if you have children.
I can see that. If you're in college, that might be a little funny. But 99.9% of the April Fool's Day jokes are awful. I just saw Jay, broadcaster with ESPN.
Jay Harris?
No. Analyst. Duke.
Jay Williams,
pardon me. I almost said the Jalen Rose. Jay Williams, because the Jalen Rose commercials have been nonstop this week with their new show starting tomorrow. But Jay Williams was just on one of the sports centers, and the anchor was trying to talk to him, and he kept putting his hand up to his ear saying, I can't hear you. I don't know what happened. Something's wrong. And it, like the panic look, and the anchor's like, what? Something's wrong with it? And then he says, April Fool's, and it was not funny. The news anchor, whoever was on, tried to laugh and pretend like it was funny. It's not funny. Not funny either is what happened to Kansas last night. Let's I'm going to check the line here in a minute or two for the national championship game because Michigan and Villanova opened up last night with Villanova at -6. And then this morning, I love saying that. My dad says it. This morning instead of this morning. This morning it had gone to -7. Villanova -7. So the money just must be pouring in on Villanova because that's a big number for a national championship game. Big number. So after watching, the easy thing to say is, okay, yeah, after watching Villanova destroy Kansas last night, that they've got to be the heavy favorite. And they are. They're the heavy favorite to win the national championship. They're not going to shoot like that again, I cannot think. They're not going to make 18 three-pointers again. They're not going to have Pascual go 10 of 11 from the floor again. That's just not going to happen. But the way they were able to tear apart a fellow number one seed on the second biggest stage. Oh, it's the first biggest stage. It's the second biggest game, the semifinal. On the biggest stage, the way they were able to pick Kansas apart and switch their screens and things like that. I don't know how you'd pick against Villanova. I just don't. And maybe that's stating the painfully obvious here, but they've been loaded. We've known about them all season. They're not a secret. And they've got the player of the year in Jalen Brunson. And so Jed's the Michigan fan. I don't know which way if you pick Michigan, which I'm assuming you will, would you take Michigan straight up or would you want the 7 points?
I mean, I'd certainly take the points, obviously. 7 points. So, okay. Yeah, I mean, let's assume that I'm getting those 7 points.
How does Michigan, because Wagner, again, and you pointed out a couple of other players, they were terrific in the second half.
Yeah.
But if they have a first half like they had against Loyola Chicago, they'll be out of it quick.
Well, certainly. I mean, most teams would be, and if Villanova plays a first half like they did against Kansas, most teams are going to be out of it. The matchup, to me, you were talking about Mo Wagner. He's big, but he's mobile. He actually can guard the perimeter.
You watch him move without the ball?
Right. So I think that whereas Azubuike was completely rendered ineffective on the defensive end, Mo Wagner will not be in the same situation. He'll be able to move and check Spielman. He may not shut him down. I'm not saying that, but I think that's a better matchup. The other thing is I was talking about with Charles Matthews and Abdur-Rahman, they have bigger guards, you know, like 6'3", 6'4", stouter guys also who I think Jalen Brunson, I know that he loves going down into the paint and it was a matchup problem for Kansas. Malik Newman did a better job than Devontae Graham, but I think it's just overreactionary to ultimately be like, well, look at how great Villanova looked, so therefore that's how great they are. They're a very good team, but I also watched them play in the Big East and saw them lose to Xavier,
right.
Butler. The Big East is a tough league. It's not to discredit them, but they're not a team that is without deficiencies.
And what I also like about Michigan, and you know, they get raves for their defense, which they should because they're very good at it. The first part of this, especially the non-conference part, they were not that great on defense.
Mm-mm.
And John Beilein is one of the best at making adjustments and teaching shooters to become better shooters. But you watch Michigan play defense, and I heard an interesting breakdown of Michigan and how they play, even whether it's man-to-man or zone. They don't just play their defense. They spread you across the floor while they're on defense. They make you get off your spot. They don't let you get to the spots that you routinely want to get to. They stretch you out.
Right.
And that's unusual for a defensive team, an unusual posture for a defensive team to be able to push you out and move you around. Because it's the offense that normally dictates where the action's going
to
happen.
And the rules are more tailored to freedom of movement for the offensive side of the ball. So that's an interesting point. I hadn't taken that into account. Michigan also is extremely proficient on offense, at least in getting good shots. They also take care of the ball pretty well. Simpson had, gosh, I think 4 turnovers maybe in the first 6 minutes of the game last night, which is uncharacteristic. He's a poor free throw shooter, but he normally takes care of the ball. I just think the game is going to be much closer. But this is also the same guy who picked Kansas to win and didn't see them losing by 19 or whatever it ended up being. So take all of the garbage, I just said, and take it with a grain of salt.
Well, I went to, we made our predictions yesterday. I took the over. I picked Kansas 83-81. That didn't happen. I picked Loyola Chicago strictly because of the Kansas City kids, Clayton Custer and Ben Richardson. I picked them to beat Michigan by 2, and I was feeling pretty good at halftime. And then going into the second half when Loyola Chicago was up 10, because I, you know, even though I didn't think they would actually win, I picked them just because. And then I could go back on that and say, yep, I picked it. I'm the only one. But I went 0-2, and in a big way. Not even close. Let's hear a couple of more things to wrap up Kansas as their season is over. By the way, they finish with a record of 31-8. That's three straight seasons of 31 wins. So we'll wrap up here with Svi Mykhailiuk after his last game in a Kansas Jayhawks uniform.
It's hard to miss. It's hard to miss.
Ball movement that makes it so hard to close out on the perimeter.
Yeah, you know, if you don't close out, they're going to shoot. If you close out hard, they're going to just drive by. So you just got to pick the right one.
I mean, the focus was all on that offensive side, but you guys didn't even take a three for the first 13 minutes of the game. What were their closeouts like? What were they doing to prevent you from taking threes like you usually do?
Just not letting them catch the ball. They were pressuring the whole game. You know, they're trying to be physical with us. I think they did a great job.
So what would you take away from your career here at Kansas?
You know, it was great 4 years for me. I learned a lot. I became a better player. I met a lot of new people. I'm about to get my degree, so I think it just... You know, it was a great part of my life.
Do you feel like you answered the questions that the scouts had for you last year at the combine?
I didn't think about it. Yeah, I didn't think about
it
at all.
Ready for the next level?
We'll see.
So if you got to boil it down, what was the biggest difference tonight?
Defense. We let them score a lot, and they didn't let us score us a lot, so that's how they won.
See, when a team hits that many shots like that, and you seem like you're doing everything you can. How frustrating is it when they just keep falling and falling and falling?
You know, sometimes when we try going around, they hit the shot. You know, it's kind of frustrating, but, you know, it's part of a game, you know. When a team is a really good shooting team and, you know, you let them shoot the open shot, they're going to make them.
When they have so many guys who could score and who did score, how hard is it to defend because you couldn't really key in on one guy?
It's really hard, especially when a team gets hot and, you know, they're making every shot. So you just gotta adjust.
What adjustments could you guys have made to kind of disrupt their rhythm?
Just play more aggressively. Don't let them catch ball easy. Just pressure them all the time. Just let us feel us on time.
What would you say to the 16-year-old Svi who arrived in Lawrence?
Man, it's going to be a great run.
Help us a feeling, is it? Maybe at points during the game, you know, nobody, you never expect to get behind like that, and then you just never could make a run. Is there ever a feeling, a little bit of hopelessness, or are you just trying to continue to fight?
Yeah, always continue to fight, you know. It's always a long game. You don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, you can't go around. They can't go around. So today they just went on more runs than we did.
That's Svi Mykhailiuk after playing his final game in a Kansas uniform. His analysis at the beginning, towards the beginning of that clip, was all you need to say. He was asked what the difference was in the game. He said, defense. We let them score too much. They didn't let us score enough. Pretty simple. And wait, you know, for as much as the offensive numbers jump off the page for Villanova, which they should, 95 points, 18 three-pointers, the defensive game plan was pretty spot on. The game plan that Jay Wright and his staff came up with. And Svi talked about it. He said, what kind of issues did you have? And he said, they wouldn't let me get to my spot. Couldn't get even a half-open look, really. And the looks that he had, he whiffed. He 1-for-4 from downtown. But Villanova, they disrupted everything Kansas tried to do. They did everything that I expected Duke to be able to do and couldn't do. Duke couldn't make as many, the kind of defensive stops. They didn't make the ones I thought they would. Villanova made a lot more than I thought they would. I didn't expect that. I thought Duke, with their size, would be able to get those stops, hand in the face, get you uncomfortable in your shooting posture, just kind of those things that get you out of your game and that make Duke sort on good. Villanova did all those things.
Villanova's a tougher team than Duke.
Yeah.
Flat out.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that yet. But, yeah, they were physically
those were some grown
you.
Men playing.
Yeah.
And not to take anything away from Marvin Bagley. To me, he's Jahlil Okafor. He's skilled offensively, but he doesn't play a lick of defense. The fact that Kansas out-rebounded Duke, that's astonishing. When I saw that,
by 15.
That's all you need to know about Duke right there. Yeah. Villanova is those are some tough dudes, and they've
been around too.
They're upperclassmen. Yep. I know that they do have some young guys, but it just speaks to we were talking about it yesterday, how aside from Villanova's scoring and points allowed, Kansas and them are mirror images.
Right.
I think what Coach Self and what Jay Wright want to do are essentially the same thing. Jay Wright just right now, at least on last night, was way better. Yep. It doesn't mean that if you play the game 10 times that Villanova's going 10-0.
Mm-hmm.
But last night, it was the perfect storm.
It's a good point. And the upperclassmen, the toughness. You mentioned Bagley. He looks somewhat disinterested in points of that game against Kansas. You know, he might be counting his money already. I don't know. Good for him. Happy for you. But not part of that game. Villanova has the kind of that veteran physical toughness. And teams most of the time reflect their coach. If you're a tough team, if you're a physical team, if you're an athletic team, it's the coach's philosophy. The players reflect that. Jay Wright's he coaches a tough brand of basketball. And you got to do that in the Big East. You got to do that at Villanova when you're playing against much bigger schools.
Well, and I think people don't see that out of Jay Wright because
right.
he's so smooth. Last night when he was talking with Tracy Wolfson, and they always make reference to his $5,000 suits. And
right.
I mean, he's a smooth cat, but I think it's almost like the thing I talk about with Coach Self, because he goes, and
right.
smiles and is affable. People don't realize
guy.
That he says some real stuff from time to time, and I don't think you want to be in his practice.
Right.
I think Jay Wright has a lot of that.
And Jay Wright, I had forgotten the video clip from 2 years ago when Villanova won the national championship. The shot on the sideline of Jay Wright's reaction. I guess the game's over. I better go shake somebody's hand. I think we won. It looks like it's over. No reaction at all.
He also called the shot. He goes,
yes.
Good.
Yes. Yes. But no exuberance, no nothing like that. That's all right. I think we have one more clip to play here from the Kansas Jayhawks. Silvio De Souza, who was able to get in for 10 minutes of the game, got a couple of buckets, and got five or six rebounds. I just had the box score, and I switched off of it, but there we go. Couple of buckets, seven rebounds, very good. Get the seven boards in the 10 minutes. Couple of fouls, turnover, finished with 7 points. But definitely a great opportunity for him, just a couple of months out of high school, to be able to get on the big stage and play into this kind of game and kind of set the expectations for next year. But here is Silvio De Souza after Kansas lost to Villanova.
Season, I could tell that the team was like going through a lot, and you know, I'm just happy we built up and we got a lot better each game, and and I hope next year we learn from the team this year and just start to focus on from beginning.
Talk about your experience and what it was like playing with Devontae Graham senior.
Like since the first day, Devontae just was a big person for me. You know, he means a lot to me, not just on the court but off the court. He's a great leader also, and you know, I wish I could have more time like playing with him.
Can a tough loss like this provide a little extra incentive, a little extra fuel for your work in the off season?
You know, right now I just gotta move on and try to stay focused and keep working, just do better next year.
So you've played a lot of basketball before, but have you ever seen a shooting display like that?
That's my first time seeing a team that can shoot the ball like that. You know, they all can shoot the ball, and it's hard to guard when everybody can shoot the ball, you know, and that was the thing today.
But
Was there anything in particular they did except for maybe the extra pass? Because especially at the beginning, a lot of those were really, really good looks.
You know, I just think that, like, we couldn't focus. And, you know, we were kind of playing tight in the beginning. And they were quicker, and we were just to execute everything.
What could the team have done
differently? Yeah, I don't know.
Is there anything that can sort of fuel your off season when you end the season like this? Can this put a little extra, you know, maybe make you do a little extra work and approach the off season with a little extra fire?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Have you ever seen a team shoot like that?
No. They're a pretty good shooting team. Cost a lot of rotation.
Was it their spacing? What led the most to them getting such good looks, such open looks?
It was getting to the paint, you know, causing rotation. And, you know, it was kind of hard for us to recover, especially with the big shooting threes. So,
overall, can you characterize the season? I mean, this team getting this far to a Final Four?
I just feel like it was a great season. I know we had a lot of doubters. So, yeah, I feel like it's a pretty good season.
How helpless a feeling is it in a game like that? You don't expect a game where you never even really can get a run, can get any momentum going. How difficult is that? How difficult a feeling is it?
It's a crazy feeling. It was just hard. You know, we tried, but you know, they just kept making shots. So.
That was LeGerald Vick for the last couple of answers there. I'll just say he's said some many forgettable things this season. He's just not good in front of a microphone. He's not. That's all right. But he had a pretty forgettable performance as well in his 32 minutes. 4 of 7 for 8 points, just a couple of rebounds. It's kind of how the night went. It just went for everybody.
All those guys.
Aside from Devontae and Malik.
All those guys, though. I mean, when you hear those answers, what do you say? Even my buddies and I watching the game, I mean, we weren't in the locker room. We didn't sweat a drop of sweat. Didn't do anything. So, and we're sitting there baffled by what we saw. If you play in that game and you're like, I'm a pretty damn good player.
Right.
And you're like, we just got pants. That was, we just watched history. A team just dropped 18 threes on us.
Yeah.
And then somebody sticks a mic in your face. I think you're going to have a tough time being like, well, let me really break this down. They were running the screens were unbelievable. I don't know.
And
I do feel for the kids a little bit in that situation.
Yes. They're not coaches, but yeah, you just I like that. You just got pantsed on international television in front of
70,000 people live,
yes,
and 100 million people watching. What are your thoughts?
There's no real breaking it down when you lose by that much from a team that hits at that clip and hits the 18 threes. There's really not a lot more to say than that. And Bill Self, how could I be emotional? We were never in it. It wasn't like we lost on a last-second bucket. But I'm sure today he's probably a lot more, won't say heartbroken, but it'll set in a little more today. You know, Devontae Graham won't be there anymore. Svi Mykhailiuk, they'll have to watch the championship game without being in it.
When Coach Self in the first hour, when we played the audio, and he said, I doubt I'll even watch the video ever again. I guarantee he's sitting there watching that today, figuring out what went wrong. He has that kind of mindset. That's what makes him so great. But man, even that, I don't even know what you do. You literally.
No. Back to the drawing board. Calipari joked about that after Kansas came back and beat Memphis in the national title game. Somebody asked Calipari the next season, have you watched the tape? And he goes, I threw it away. I doubt that. Coaches don't throw anything away. All right, we are coming up on the timeout here. Cody Tapp is going to join us in the next segment. He was supposed to be doing Baseball Tonight today. Baseball Tonight today? That's right. I mean, it was
that actually is correct.
It was supposed to be at noon, but the Royals game against the White Sox has been postponed. The Royals said with the expected freezing temperatures and impending snow, they went ahead and, as they say in baseball parlance, they banged the game. So they'll play a doubleheader. Yeah, that's when you hang. If you're like when I traveled with the team, if you were hanging around the clubhouse or the press box and you were waiting through a rain delay, somebody will come out and say, "All right, we banged it. We'll play a doubleheader down the road."
How do you like that? I would have probably just, if I was like Mike Swanson, I'd probably just walk out and say, "Yeah, we canceled it."
Yeah,
I called it.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'd go with "we banged it."
Just telling you.
The best part about Cody is he walks in. And I'm like, "Hey, what's up, man?" And we're kind of shooting the breeze. And he gets a text from Curtis being like, "Yeah, game's canceled."
So he drove all the way here.
Mm-hmm.
Cody and I don't live too far apart.
He lives in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, so that's to get up at, well, he got here like, what, 9 or 9:30? He was here early.
Yeah, 9:30.
To get everything together. And then game, Royals, White Sox, canceled.
When it's so cold and miserable to be able to sleep in. And
I know, Easter Sunday and get ready to go have a nice
brunch. Couldn't happen to a better guy.
Yeah. So Cody is going to join us by phone because he made the smart decision to go ahead and go home, spend Easter with his family. With the Royals game being canceled, it'll be made up on April 28th, part of a doubleheader. So we'll talk baseball with Cody Tapp on a Royals postponement day. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. We're on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is like, this should be automatically in every show, this thumb back. I love this one. It's one of my favorites.
Well, I asked Cody, because I like catering to our guests, what kind of music he wanted. And he's like, I don't care. Just pick something from Sports Night or play some hip-hop. So I was like, all right, this one's always popular for ads.
I like
so
this.
Two birds, one stone.
Back on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is producing and picking the musical selections, the stylings. We were talking about the weather earlier. Royals game canceled because of the cold and impending snow. And we were joking. Gary Ligacek always said, go outside, look up. That's the first rule of weather. I just opened the back door here at Union Broadcasting, Sports Radio 810 WHB, and it's like little snow/ice pellets. It's like not a sleet, and it's not a snow, but it's like little ice pellets. Not hail. It's like snow pellets, I guess.
I'll go outside and post a picture to Twitter.
Okay. We'll get a picture going. It started piling. I wasn't sure if that was actual snow or not, but it is. Always checking in on the weather and enjoying a weather day off is Cody Tapp, who was actually in the studio a few hours ago to get ready for Royals baseball. But thanks to Mother Nature and the Royals, you got an Easter Sunday off to spend with the family, Cody.
Look at that. What a nice little timing that was. I was going to have to try to balance getting over there late. Plus, you and I are on Sunday sound off later, so it's going to be kind of a busy Easter Sunday. But instead, I mean, nobody wants to play. Even if you thought it wasn't going to snow, playing baseball in 29 degrees is a bad idea.
Less than ideal.
Yeah, that's not when we say, hey, it feels like baseball weather. That's not what we're talking about.
No.
So Royals probably made the right decision punting the game today, but it's nice to enjoy, I guess, a relaxing Sunday. You know, I get to come on here and talk a little baseball or basketball, too.
And as you mentioned, you and I are both going to be part of the panel tonight, Sunday Sound Off 41 Action News, along with Les Norman. And I'm sure we'll have to, we'll talk Royals and we'll talk KU and maybe sporting. I don't know. I don't know if there's enough time, Cody. We got a lot to go through there, a lot to unpack. But I'll ask you before I get too deep into the Royals, real quickly, your thoughts on KU Villanova. We were just kind of joking in the last segment with all the player interviews. What do you expect them to say after a game like that? There's not really any deep analysis that can be you can run through. They just got their ass kicked.
I think Villanova. That first half 3-point shooting display.
I never seen anything like it.
Not to be hyperbolic, but yeah, exactly. Like you don't want to be hyperbolic and be like, well, that's never happened before. No, I've never seen shooting like that in the first half out of Villanova. And obviously, they made 18 in the game, so it didn't exactly slow down for them on that end either. But as Abuke said it pretty well after the game, he was like, oh, I've never seen him shoot like that. I'm like, yeah, that's correct. and of course, there's people that I made a simple comment like, Jay Wright is a good coach or a great coach. Like, oh, well, man, I could coach them if they're hitting like this. I'm like, it's not an accident that they shoot that many threes or make that many threes. They have five guys who can score it, And as much as we talked before the game, and Brad, I know we were on a show together on Friday, where the mismatch was, I think I was saying, hey, that matchup on that five spot, right? Their five versus Kansas's five.
Right.
You know, Spellman versus Azubuike could be an advantage for Kansas just the same. It wasn't.
No, not even close.
Got crushed. He couldn't guard the three-point line, all of that stuff coupled with it, and just got themselves further and further in trouble. So as much as that could have been an advantage on either side, it was an incredibly one-sided advantage for Villanova.
And for as a basketball fan in general, it was disappointing because I thought the night was set up perfectly. Loyola Chicago with the two Kansas City kids, a gutty performance against a physically dominating Michigan team. Loyola led by 10 points in the second half, put on a great show, and then they were just physically and emotionally spent with about 5 minutes to go, and they couldn't hold on. Fine, but it was still a great story and a great lead-in to what was supposed to be the game labeled as the winner of this is going to be the national champion.
Yeah.
And it was a complete and total letdown, and it was done by halftime. And I felt KU was lucky to only be down 15 at halftime.
Oh, I mean, when someone makes 13 and a half, sure. And Kansas wasn't, Kansas was getting some easy looks in the first half. Like, their offense was in a complete disaster in the first half. And the beginning of the second half, they were getting some easy looks, too. But when any team shoots that well from three, it's over. But again, I don't think it's an accident that they shot that many. You remember Kansas early in the year, he was talking about with Azubuike down and Mitch Lightfoot was a little dinged up. He kind of warned his team against Texas about the possibility, or maybe it was Oklahoma State.
About I think it was the Oklahoma State game.
Yeah, he's like, I might, he joked, I told him they might have to put up 30. And I don't think it was a joke. I think he really thought maybe it was going to have to be bombs away from three. And it was pretty clear early on that was Villanova's plan. Shoot a bunch of threes. Stretch them out, shoot a bunch of threes. Because they never stopped taking them the entire game. So, no, it was incredibly disappointing for Kansas. And if Villanova wins it, can catch them in national championships as a team, right? So Kansas only has three. That would be the third for Villanova. And can catch them, can go ahead of Bill Self with two, which puts you in pretty elite company, as we mentioned on Friday. You'd be only six guys ahead of you if you get your second championship. And the sixth guy ahead of you would just be, Coach K, Bobby Knight, Roy Williams, Rupp. Pretty exclusive company, wouldn't the guys
heard
above you?
Heard of those guys.
Yeah. They all have arenas named after them.
We're talking with Cody Tapp, who hosts Sports Night every night here on during the week on Sports Radio 810 WHB, also hosting baseball tonight during the Royals season. And was supposed to today, but the Royals and White Sox game has been postponed with the sub-freezing temperatures and the snow, which has already started. Jed Marshall just went outside. Is it the snow pellets like that? How I described it?
Yeah, it's icy and not pleasant.
Not pleasant. Okay, so good thing.
Wintry mix.
Wintry mix.
Ah, well done, Cody.
That kind of covers the bases. It's a wintry mix. Speaking of a mix that is not working for the Royals, the bullpen, for crying out loud. Opening day was a train wreck for everybody. And then you get to game number two last night. Things are rolling along pretty good. Ian Kennedy worked in and out of trouble, had to throw a lot of pitches. Then you need to get the final nine outs, or as I said earlier in the show, you need to find the six outs because you're going to count on Kelvin Herrera to get the final three. Can you get the six outs in between the starter and Herrera? And the Royals are in a bad spot if the early returns are any indication. And Brandon Maurer is suspect number one right now, and Clint Scholes tweeted this morning. Brandon Maurer, in his 21 and two-thirds innings pitched in a Royals uniform, has given up 21 runs. And he looked bad last year, and he looked awful last night again.
Somehow the 22 saves was like maybe the redeeming quality for what they thought could be a good pitcher in Maurer.
Right.
I see. Obviously, I haven't watched him a bunch in San Diego. In the time I've seen him in a Royals uniform, he can't get anybody out. He's wild. He doesn't hit his pitches. And it's not just them. You realize how many runs they've given up in two games? Two. 12 runs.
Yeah.
The bullpen's given up 12 runs. The starting pitching, it's not like the offense has come alive. They scored early in both of those games and then essentially just went to sleep. Only got one hit against the White Sox bullpen last night. So the offense bears some blame like anything else. Duffy didn't get as far as he should after being spotted a four-run lead. But that doesn't excuse the nine that the bullpen gave up in game one. or blowing that start last night, Mauer's a problem. I would start thinking about your backup plan for the eighth inning now. Like Herrera, all we've seen him for is a third of an inning, or two. No, I think it was two thirds of an inning, one third. So okay, don't want to make any snap judgments on that yet. But I mean, Mauer, no, that's fine. Show me anybody else. Show me Keller. Show me that. And if you're a Royals fan who complained about watching Soria pitch the last couple of years, you're about to have a rude awakening of what really bad relief pitching is. If this early start is any indication.
Yeah, it always dumbfounded me that the number of people who would complain about Joaquin Soria, I'm like, even at his worst, he's still better than 90% of bullpen guys out there, because bullpen guys are hard, really good ones are hard to find, which the Royals are quickly discovering so far this season.
Well, and honestly, it's two games, so won't panic yet. The
right,
Royals
we got to remember that.
Remember, their April last year in the bullpen was a total mess too, and maintained that for a little while. But then they went on that, they set a franchise record for consecutive innings without a run allowed out of the bullpen, which is crazy out of the bullpen last year. And now they finished 15th, which tells you before the 40 consecutive innings of scoreless baseball, I think it's like 30-something, and the end of the season, it wasn't nearly as good as that number put it on there. But Dayton has always been able to get them at least average. I just don't know who the average guys are. I think what you're finding out now is that it's not going to be the couple of names you know. They're going to find somebody in the seventh or the eighth inning that's good for this. It's going to have to be Keller or somebody else. And why my daughter maniacally screams in the background. sorry about that. But she's not even mad. She's just making, like, evil, like, she's like being an evil person, you know, like pretending to be.
It is Easter Sunday.
And so, but anyway, yeah, I think if they're going to have to find it, it's not going to be with Mauer. They're going to have to find Brad Keller or Tim Hill or, you know, some of the other guys who maybe didn't look in game one but might find some other piece. I think that's where they're going to have to look for seventh and eighth inning guys.
As far as starters go, obviously we've only seen two because we've had two games. But Danny Duffy, a lot of talk about concern after that start about his velocity was only sitting, 90, 91, maybe 92?
Yeah.
And the story after the game was, he was throwing his other fastball. But to me, when you leave your final spring training start early because of a little bit of tightness, and then you come out throwing 90, 91, 92, it gives me, as my dad used to say, it gives me the EBGBs.
Well, it's like Ned saying that, he was throwing that other fastball. Well, that fastball was getting rocked. Why didn't he switch back? Why, at what point was he going to throw the four seam instead of the two seam?
Right.
I'm worried about it. I feel like a DL stint's coming for him eventually. I don't know. Like, they keep talking like it's fine, but the Royals have been that way a little bit with injuries. If you remember, they were that way with Mike Moustakas.
Uh-huh.
Even 2 years ago when he tore his ACL, he came back and played. You remember, part of a week?
Right.
They're like, no, he's fine. And then it was like, no, his ACL's torn. He's out for the season. As much as we give credit to the Chiefs and Rick Buchholter for being a little bit honest with injuries, and I do say a little bit honest, the Royals are a bit of a kind of mystery in that department, and my feeling is that, something's wrong with Duffy, although they're not skipping him yet, but, if you made me guess right now, I'd say at some point this season he's going to have a DL stint. But at least Kennedy looked good, right?
Yeah, he looked
Angel
very good.
Was working, fastball was working, and they're not going to have to go to Scotland yet because this game lets them bump everybody back, so they're not even going to have to use a fifth guy in the rotation the first week. So the Carnes injury doesn't hurt him yet. All those things are kind of nice.
How about offensively? Because we do have some positives there. They got the 7 runs on opening day, the 3 runs last night before blowing it late. John Jay, I thought, looks like what – that term professional hitter? He's a guy that knows what he's doing, what he wants the leadoff spot. He's hitting – 330 right now, 333 on base of 400. He's getting on. Whit Merrifield looks okay. Moose got a triple last night. Duda keeps driving in runs. So I'm feeling pretty good. Now that we got the bullpen out of the way and the starting rotation, we're not sure. I'm feeling a little better after watching this offense perform.
Parts of it, yeah.
Parts of it, yes.
Why they're not scoring late. But yeah, Jay is a professional. I think the top of the order is what you feel good about, Brad. Like,
yes.
Jay, Whit Merrifield, Moose, Duda, and then when Perez gets back into it in a few weeks, you're like, okay. Like, this is a 1-5 or 6 that can actually play a little bit. that game I don't feel so good about. And I'm a little bit worried about Soler. Why? Like, he wasn't in the starting lineup. I didn't think much about that. I thought, man, maybe I'll just give him a day off. But then late in the game when they needed a pinch hitter, they went to Ryan Goins.
Yes.
And I got to think that if you're getting pinch hit for Ryan Goins, something's not right, because that's not exactly your ace-level bat coming off the bench. So, I'm a little bit worried about Soler in that lineup. I like the top. I think it's balanced. I think it's guys who will get on base. And you couple that with some guys like Perez when he gets healthy and Moustakas and Dudu and hit some home runs. I think they can get that. But, you know, like last year, I don't know why they sleepwalk through the late part of the game. Last year, kind of a common theme, Brad, if you go back and watch that, if you went back and watched the entire season, you see a lot of times the Royals jumped out to a 3 or 4 run lead and just slowly disappeared, end up losing 5-4. And that's really frustrating. And so they've got to find a way to get runs throughout the game. And it can't be like Escobar trying to bunt his way on the 9th on and then Goins coming in to pinch it. They got to find a way to manufacture a run late in any way possible. Because, you know, once again, it seems like a lot like last year that maybe it's just going to be slow going on that back end.
Absolutely. We're talking with Cody Tapp, host of Sports Night weeknights here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, also host of Baseball Tonight, which is canceled today because the Royals and White Sox are canceled. Game will be made up on April 28th. All right, final thing, Cody, before we get you on your way and out into the snow and spending the rest of the Easter Sunday with your family, prediction for Monday night's NCAA championship. Currently Villanova favored at -7. So you pick it however you want to pick it.
I'll take Villanova and I'll even give the points. At this rate, the way they played the other day, that is an incredibly balanced team. And Michigan is going to have it. The same thing, right? Wagner is kind of like their five Spellman. He can step out and shoot the three. So they line up a little bit better against Villanova. You know, like Michigan lined up a little bit better against Villanova than Kansas did, having now seen Villanova attack their big man. But the way they're playing right now, I'm not going to root against them. They won it 2 years ago. I'm not going to count against them. They won it 2 years ago. I think they've got more talent. And much to Jed's dismay, I'll pick Villanova. even though, you know, but that's fine. I don't have to spin the wheel for Sports Night, so at least I feel better about that. Watching that Villanova team the other night, they looked almost unbeatable.
Yeah. I was cursing you, Cody, until I remembered I don't have to spin the wheel. So pick whoever you like, my friend.
Feels better. Poor beards.
All right, Cody. Well, thanks to the Royals and Mother Nature, you got a nice Easter Sunday off to spend with your family. But I will see you tonight for Sunday Sound Off over at 41 Action News along with Les Norman. Should be fun.
Sounds good, Brad. I'll see you there.
All right, Cody Tapp. Thank you very much. That is Cody Tapp. And got the day off thanks to a little snowstorm and horrible weather. And the Royals called it early. That was the nice thing about today is they called it early. I think they saw, okay, even if it doesn't snow, you know, trying to drag a few thousand people to the ballpark on a 29-degree day.
I think they saw the crowds last night and were like, it's supposed to be even worse.
Worse.
And it's a major holiday. Maybe we scrap this one.
Yeah, I remember baseball still does this on occasion. They'll drag out a rain delay for hours. Just they want you in the ballpark. They want you buying the beverages and the
booze
and the hot dogs and just spend your, we're going to hold this off for 2 hours, 3 hours. I've sat through those before, but this one was handled a little more
judiciously.
Thank you. I was going to say speciously, but that's the wrong word. Judiciously. They got this knocked out early. Game is canceled, postponed. I'll make it up on April 28th. All right. We just got a few more minutes left on the show. Put a bow on it, and then get off to Easter Sunday festivities. Hope you're out and about enjoying this day with family and friends, or going to services if that's what you're inclined to do, and trying to get out of this nasty, nasty weather. This is Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is producing. We're back in a couple of minutes right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Just a couple of minutes left in this Easter Sunday edition of Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm your host, Brad Porter. Jed Marshall has been producing the effort this morning, and then we'll get back out into the snow and icy mix, freezing, nasty Kansas City weather. We didn't, you know, we don't talk a lot of national baseball just because we spend so much time with the Royals and, you know, Sporting KC and the Chiefs and KU and Mizzou and K-State and all that. But big story today, nationally, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim of Orange County will send out to start Shohei Ohtani. Made his debut a couple of days ago as a DH. Went 1-for-5, but he's going to the hill today for the Angels against the A's. So if you were looking for a sporting event today to take in with the Royals being snowed out today, check out the Angels and A's, and we'll see what all the hype is about with Ohtani. And Jed Marshall and I were talking about where to find that game. I just went to the Angels website. It looks like it's going to be on MLB Network as long as you're not in Los Angeles.
But I am not.
Then yes, not anytime soon. But if you're in LA, it's on their local affiliate there. But MLB Network today at 3:00, if you want to watch Shohei Ohtani make his pitching debut for the Angels. He had what, a 27 ERA in spring training?
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't good.
No, he wasn't. I think it may take him a minute, but I think he's going to be real good. The Rockets also play the Spurs this afternoon at 2:30. I might have to find some sort of, I don't know, restaurant that has multiple televisions where I can go and enjoy a nice NBA game and some baseball. That's my Easter plans.
Rockets and Spurs this afternoon. Tonight, there'll be NBA here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Sunday night baseball,
yeah,
actually.
7:00, Giants and Dodgers.
Yep.
So get to see the Dodgers. But his story is interesting because, you know, he had all the hype coming from Japan. If he'd waited an extra year, he could have got, or 2 years, he could have gotten $100 billion, but he came over now and gets there's a limitation on the age and all that, and so he gets like $3 million. He's not hurting for cash, but you know what I'm saying. And so when a player comes in who's had so much success in Japan, so much hype, you always have to remind yourself, okay, well, now this is Major League Baseball. I know the Japanese League has produced several good players, a lot of them, that have come over to Major League Baseball and had success. It takes a while, though. It takes a while. And you wait till midseason when you've had to take 3.5-4 hour cross-country flights. You're a team on the West Coast. Got to go to New York. Got to go to Boston. Got to go to Tampa. Heck, getting to Texas is no easy trick.
I mean, he flew here from Japan.
Well,
that's an easy trip.
On a regular basis, though, you're going to be traveling every third day.
I feel like he'll be all right. They'll piece it together.
No, and that's the thing. And I was listening to, you know, some of the critics were, ERA is, every team in Major League Baseball wanted this guy for a reason. The due diligence was done by everybody, and then he said he was not. He didn't want to play on the East Coast for some reason, or the Northeast. He didn't want to play for whatever reason. I don't know if it's a marketing thing, or he just likes the warm weather of Southern California. I mean, who doesn't? But it'll be fun to see. So that's today at 3:00. And then tonight here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, Giants and Dodgers. And once again, just a reminder, Royals snowed out today, postponed. Make it up April 28th. That is not a joke on this April 1st. That is not a joke. The game is canceled.
It's starting to accumulate out there.
It is. Jed and I are here at Union Broadcasting. And
well, what would you say about
that's
three,
up to, I call that a dusting. Yeah, that's about 4 feet.
That's an April Fool's joke.
Okay. It's a dusting right now. And Jeff Penner from 41 Action News says dusting or all the way up to 2 inches. We're at dusting level right now. Reminder, tonight, Sunday sound off on KSHB, 41 Action News. Cody Tapp and I and Les Norman will be part of the Sunday Soundoff show, so that'll be a lot of fun. We are wrapping things up. We are out of time. Hope you enjoy your Easter Sunday and have a great day with friends and family. My name is Brad Porter. Thank you to Jed Marshall for producing today. Thank you to Colin McCourt and Cole Craig and Cody Tapp for joining us on the show. We will see you next time on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.